Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Radio. So Southern Cross is back. With me in studio is Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Michael Andrew. How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Very well. Yes, good. So everybody's sort of on the mics today. So Izzy's on a mic. Lachlan's sort of loitering behind me, like potentially going to make a comment or two. So let's just begin with. Australia. So Peter O'Neill has stepped down as Prime Minister after further defections to opposition and resentment grows. Can you talk us?
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Yeah.
Both are on the agenda. So start with Papua New Guinea. So Peter O'Neill has stepped down.
Yes.
Talk us through what's happened.
Okay. So this is in line with weeks of developments and defections and
constant sort of tension within the government sort of election stuff with Papua New Guinea.
Yes. So there were more defections from MPs last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically gave the opposition bloc a majority, which meant that when they vote, when Parliament resumes later this week, they can effectively, it's a vote of no confidence, so they can deem Peter O'Neill not fit for office and get rid of him. But he kind of preempted that by announcing that he would step down yesterday. Mm-hmm. He hasn't stepped down, but he's announced he would. And he's basically conceded that there is a clear climate for change in the government. And so he will hand over to one of his colleagues until the vote of no confidence goes ahead. And the opposition, effectively the new government, because they have a majority anyway. But so that was kind of inevitable, I suppose. Especially with all the defections that were happening, there was going to be some kind of change afoot.
Do you think that the reason that he has stepped down rather than sort of being pushed out is probably a move to make him feel less, like, maybe disliked? I don't know.
Perhaps there are suspicions that he's not going to go quietly. The system's really hard to figure out, but... Mm. His opposition is saying you can't just hand over the PM to one of your colleagues. It doesn't work like that. Mm. And there are suspicions that he's going to sabotage the whole thing. But I don't know. He's not well liked, and public resentment has been growing throughout all this, because especially with his treatment of customary land in PNG. PNG is a really unique country in that the majority of land is actually customary, and that it's not owned by title, it's owned by the people for traditional uses, for indigenous uses, for agriculture. And under Peter O'Neill's watch, it's been alleged that he has exploited that land for mining and logging of multinational companies and basically given a whole lot of it away. So people are really angry. And we published an open letter from a governor of one of the provinces in Papua New Guinea, Gary Jaffa, who's this great swaggering, charismatic kind of man. You wouldn't think he was a politician. He's like, he's a real hard-case kind of dude. And he wrote this scathing letter just basically saying, you've sold us out for so many years and you're going down. So public resentment was growing, and looks like he's gone.
So has the opposition indicated anything that regarding these customary land rights, where they would be respecting that?
That's pretty much the basis on which they defected, that the government has been taking the piss and they're going to...
do something about it.
Yeah, but it's quite rife with corruption, so you don't know. I mean,
Could just be an empty promise, maybe?
Yeah, but I mean, there is certainly a spotlight on this issue, and it's growing, that the customary land thing has been exploited. And I can't imagine that would go away. There's always going to be that pressure on MPs to rectify the problem.
Mm. So let's now move on to Australia. Can you talk to us a little bit about sort of the fallout from the Australian elections?
Yeah, so there was quite a bit of speculation as to what was going to happen post-election. And I suppose the biggest development has been a wave of suicide attempts on Manus Island amongst the Manus Island refugees.
Yeah.
Because Labour, the defeated party, had basically promised to expedite the resettlement of the 900 refugees on Manus Island and on Nauru. And the Liberal coalition obviously have no such mandate.
No.
They don't have any initiative on that kind of thing. So, a lot of these refugees have lost hope and feel like they're going to be stuck in this desperate and dire situation. That's incredibly sad.
It's awful.
But as to be expected from this party that did not campaign on any such rectifying the refugee problem.
Has the government made any comments about this sort of fallout?
Not that I'm aware. They could have, but I haven't seen anything. But it's not in the dark. Everyone knows about it. Everyone's knows the situation is getting worse and worse over there. So pressure is inevitably going to mount on the Liberal coalition
to do something about it.
Yeah.
Do people think that that's likely with the pressure that will be put on the coalition? Do you think that is something that they will have to act on, or do you think they'll just sort of continue to push it away?
As time goes on, I mean, this is just my opinion. I think as time goes on, they can't ignore it. I mean, it's just a growing development, and these are just the latest. It's escalating. If they're trying to kill themselves, you've got to do something about that. You can't just leave these people. But pressure was always mounting even before the election, so it's hard to say when it will be remedied, but we will see. But the other thing is with the Australian fallout is the coal industry. So they're still analysing the results and how the actual voting came through, and it turns out that a lot of the real coal centred electorates up in the northeast in Queensland had a crucial role in how the election played out. And Labor campaigning heavily on renewable energy and climate change didn't do enough to
satisfy these people
and offer them an alternative for their livelihoods, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Liberals were kind of, more pro coal. So, it turns out that that these people in these towns wanted to vote for a party that would have their best interests in mind, and that's exactly what happened. Which is a shame, because Australia is the largest coal exporter in the world, 40% of the world's coal exports, so that's a significant that's going to be a significant contributor to climate change and emissions, and it doesn't look like there's going to be much to alleviate that.
And that's disappointing that Labor didn't have any, because I suppose it's the job opportunities that would be completely lost if we were going to turn away from coal and move towards sustainable energy. And so did they not have anything particularly in mind to organise jobs for these people if that was going to be the case to sort of move away from coal?
No, and that's what pundits are saying, is that they should have totally committed, not just kind of a half-assed climate change initiative, but like a solid, if we get elected, we will replace your coal industries, we will replace your factories
with
and mines
with
a renewable energy institution where you can be employed and
have
the jobs
retraining and
exactly
everything.
But they didn't
actual safety net.
Yeah, which is a big promises to make, but people are saying if you wanted to secure those votes, you needed to offer some kind of alternative.
I suppose it is unfortunately understandable, which is disappointing for the climate crisis. Let's talk a little bit about the Indonesian general election and talk about sort of the results and the events following that.
Yes, so there were protests last week in which 7 people died.
Wow.
So they were quite violent and a lot of destruction. So basically the opposition who lost, Prabowo Subianto, he has challenged the results of the election, claiming fraud and claiming that he actually won and the votes were in his favour. And so his supporters took to the streets to protest.
Show that.
Yeah, show to support him, and it erupted in all this violence and allegations of police brutality. So, yeah, sadly, these people died. But, yeah, it's hard to know what the truth is. I mean, he's like, he's not a, as far as I've read, he's not a good man. He's a war criminal. He's had human rights violations. Mm. He's an ex-general. He's a, you know, kind of, what's the word? Like a warmonger, essentially. Yeah. But yeah, so, and he's been alleged of silencing journalists and stamping down on media freedom. So yeah, I don't really know what he's trying to get at, and his policies didn't seem to be particularly appealing anyway. But he did get 44% of the vote, so he is quite popular.
Significant,
in Indonesia.
Yeah. And is that, is that sort of those allegations he's making that there was fraud, and is it likely that there will be investigation into that?
He's taken court proceedings to challenge the vote, so he's now doing it legitimately. So it remains to be seen what happens.
Interesting. I hope, you'd hope that it doesn't continue to go on with riots that end with people dying. That's not what we want at all.
Not at all.
No. And so finally, you have an update on the University of the South Pacific mismanagement allegations that we talked about last week. Is that right?
Yeah. So Winston Peters has said he wants to look into this because it is it is quite a serious case, because University of South Pacific receives a lot of government funding from New Zealand. So he feels like if there is mismanagement, it's not in New Zealand's best interest as a sponsor, and he wants to, I guess, further look into it. But yeah, we'll wait to see what happens on that one.
Absolutely. Cool. So thank you so much, Michael. Read all about the Pacific Media Centre updates at asiapacificreport.nz, and we'll catch you next week. Oh, actually, no, it's a public holiday, but we'll catch you the week after.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.